Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, bon dia. Otage. Ah, Angelica is coming too, I think. This is Andy Revkin. I have an interesting Sustain What episode today on a bizarre little story in a far corner of the Amazon, the legal Amazon. And hello, Angelica. Bon dia. Un momento. I'm introducing this remarkable little story that's actually part of a big story that really is about Bolsonaro and the continuing power of a sort of a ruralist, Bolsonarist, Bible, beef, and bullets. That was his campaign slogan. Politics in rural Brazil. My main guest today is Cristiana Prisibisi. Hopefully I've got that right. Close enough. She's a wonderful journalist, an environment-focused journalist at OECO, a fantastic news operation in Brazil, who stumbled into a story that's a story that I wrote about back in 1990, the murder of Chico Mendes, the face of Amazon resistance to desmatamento, to deforestation. And this man you see here on the left, Darcy Alves Pereira, had confessed after the murder of Chico Mendes to being the person who pulled the trigger. He was the gunman. And he went to prison, escaped, went back to prison, then kind of vanished into the, you know, background. And suddenly, Cristiana picked up, she had a tip that Darcy Alves Pereira was emerging again in rural politics in a small town that we'll learn about in Pará, a state that's on the perimeter of what you think of as the Amazon. And sure enough, she was able to confirm that this is the same man who, a confessed murderer, basically an intentional murder of a international figure, was in a position of power in the local politics in a town in the Amazon until her story ran. And just this past week or so, the National Party, Bolsonaro's party, pulled him from that position. That doesn't mean he's gone from the region or from politics or from being a significant story. But it's a remarkable event. And so we're going to talk about this today. And also on here today, and I'm honored to be with both of you, Angelica Mendes, who's the granddaughter, if I have this correct, of Chico Mendes, who I never met you. I was in there, you know, in 1989, 89, in Acre and Chapari and along the Juruá and retracing the life of this remarkable man, Chico Mendes, who was murdered in 1988. And remains a force for conservation. So thank you, obrigado, for being here today to talk about this, both of you. And I wanted to start with each of you can just describe, you know, what your mission in life is now, you know, what you do. And let's just start with Angelica, because I, through Cristiana, I was able to reach out to you, and I'm just really excited that you were able to join us. So tell people a little bit about you. And I know, don't worry about your English. Meu português é horrível. I really can't speak Portuguese, so give it a try. Angelica.
Okay. Thank you for the invite. So I don't speak English very well, but I will try. I'm Angelica Mendes. I'm 34 years old, mom of Livia. Livia is my daughter from 14 years old. I'm living in Rio Branco, Acre. I'm biologist and PhD in ecology and evolution. Actually, I'm working in Chico Mendes Committee and WWF Brazil with climate justice. We convening some rights for the people of the forest, to strengthening the social movements from the Amazon, the urban Amazon, the Amazon of the forest, and looking for this climate crisis that we are living now. So it's like the continuity of the work of my grandfather.
That's amazing. So what's just a quick sketch of the situation in Acre right now, in Rio Branco and Chapuri and on the reserves. How are things going?
Yes. We are living the second biggest flood in the history of our state. We have 22 cities and 19 are in emergency situation because of the flood. The house of my grandfather was almost all covered by the water.
Wow.
And in Hasekchiko Mendes, that families who live near the river were affected. Mm. But the cities were very big, very much affected. Brasileia is one of the cities, and it was 75% covered by the water. Now, Rio Branco is the capital of Acre, is in the same situation, in a similar situation. The water come to Rio Branco, and there is something like 80,000 people without house. Yes.
Wow. And this reminds me, of course, that the Amazon is a very big place, Amazonia, and because the big story lately was about the drought.
Yes.
Very dry, and now here you have flooding around the world. There's this kind of weather patterns that are too much or not enough.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
No, it this pattern of having flooding and drought, and then you know the extreme conditions are becoming more more intense.
But you know, Andy, that we have drought in the north of Amazon. We are in a very difficult situation in Roraima. That's the state in the you know extreme north of Amazon, and it's very dry and fire. So we have both problems in Amazon right now. We have fire and we have drought and we have floods.
Right. And you also have pressures from illegal activities that are persisting as well. We'll talk about some of Christiana's other stories in a minute. And thank you again for being here from Rio Branco, where the last time I was there was 1990 when I was covering the trial of Darley and Darcy Alves, the killers of Chico Mendes, at least the prime perpetrators. So, Christiana, tell us a little bit about you. You're a journalist. You cover the environment. Why this beat, and what are you working on right now? And then we're going to get into this particular story about Darcy.
Okay. So I've been working with environmental journalists for almost 20 years. And for the last past years, specifically with Amazon. So I'm looking at all the problems that we have there, you know, illegal crimes, illegal things, deforestation, fire, land grabbing, wood grabbing, and so on. So that's how I found out about Darcy Alves from someone that I knew in Mediciland. And I'm very glad that we have Angelica here. That's a pleasure to have you here and an honor. I spoke with your mom to write the article, and it was super important to give the family perspective, you know, of the situation. So it made the article very much richer, you know.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. Then take me back to the 26th or 27th of February, or whenever you got a tip.
Yeah, so I got a tip. It was the end of January. So okay. One day, it was a Monday, I remember. I was working normally, and someone that I knew in Mediciland sent me a message saying, look, it seems that Darcy Alves is the new president of Liberal Party. That's a right-wing political party in Brazil that's linked with Bolsonaro, as you said. And that moment, I thought, wow, I think I have a big story in my hands. But I didn't know anything. You know, this person didn't give me any other information. So I had to start to a real investigation, you know. And I had two lines of investigation. Of course, I had to have a document, a official document that could prove that Darcy Alves was really the new president of PL, the way we call this Liberal Party. So it wasn't so easy to find, I tell you. And another line of investigation was to try to understand who is this guy nowadays, how he presents himself, and more importantly, how the community where he lives perceives this persona. So, of course, one of the first things that I did was to look in the social media platforms, and luckily I found different accounts. He uses his real name in different accounts. He has two accounts on Facebook, one Twitter, and Instagram, and
right.
But there was a lot of small pieces of information, and I really had to put together. It's like small pieces of a big puzzle.
Right. I'm just going to show one of the, this is TikTok. I found this yesterday. And so this is the same man who is a 22, 23-year-old showing federal police how he murdered Chico, the grandfather of Angelica. And here he is. So you're pulling together these pieces from social media and elsewhere. And
at that point, I had nothing. You know, I stayed some weeks with this story in my lap. And I tell you, Andy, the secrecy that is inherent to some kinds of coverage, they can be very stressful for journalists. Of course, I couldn't. I needed to talk to someone from Mediciland, but of course, I couldn't, you know, say, hey, guys, could someone help me to find someone to talk about that?
Right.
So I had to keep it secret. And then finally, I found someone. I think 3 years later, I found someone that was willing to talk to me anonymously, of course. And this something that I want to tell you before that, in his social media, I found like a post account showing the name Daniel, Pastor Daniel.
Right. Right.
And I didn't know who was Pastor Daniel because his name is Darcy. And I thought, firstly, I thought maybe he's a Pastor Daniel supporter. And then when I spoke with this person from Mediciland, this person told me, well, you know that here in Mediciland, it's not everybody that knows him by his given name. We know him as Daniel. And that moment I said, wait, tell me that again. So this person told me he uses this nickname. Some people say Neil Identity, but I'm going to say nickname. He uses Daniel. And the person told me that he's seen in this city as a very good man, a good citizen, a good father, you know, a good husband, and he gives money to the church, he gives money to the poor, and so on. And then I asked, but do they know that he is the same person who was condemned for, you know, killing Chico Mendes? And then this person told me, well, some powerful people in the city, they know it, but it doesn't matter for them. It actually, for them, he's like a hero because he killed someone who was blocking the development in the region. Right. So that was the way I think that's still the way he's seen in the city. And then the next step, Andy, was to find this official document that I found with some help in the Superior Court for Elections. So I finally found the documents showing that he was actually really the president of this political party in Medicilandia.
Right.
So that was the story. And then, of course, it went through a lot of rounds of edition, and then we sent to the legal analysis and so on. So that's the story behind the article.
It's an extraordinary, strange story. So, Angelica, what was this like for you and the others in your family? This case. The murder was like, as you just heard, you know, there's a big chunk of the sort of Banderante Ruralista Fazendero community who always saw their job as sort of spreading across the land. And Chico was exactly what was just described. He was in their face, you know, he was stopping that process. And here this guy is back in the public eye again.
Yes. For us, it was, I was searching for the word, scary. Scary, but the narratives of the Bolsonarists about the hero who killed Chico Mendes is a thing that we see in all the notes about my grandfather. When the local media talk about Chico Mendes, the most of the commentaries, because he is one of the most Bolsonarist states, the most of the commentaries are about the hero who killed Chico Mendes.
Right.
So the society is very lost with this
narrative.
Because we are seeing how the forest is important from the climate crisis. So how Chico Mendes was important for the conservation. And the most of the population until these days don't understand and say that he was atraso. I forgot the word.
That he was murdered, assassinated.
No, she's saying that most of the people who lives in Amazon, they still think that who fights for the environment, who fights for the protection of the forest, they are still seen as disturbance to the development, to the development, yes.
Right, blocking progress.
Yes, blocking progress.
That's a very long-standing history. And, of course, when I was in Brazil in 1989, 1990, talking to the ranchers, they said, well, you guys did it. In the American history, we murdered everyone who got in the way of progress. And so it's a pattern that's really sad. And I think we all would like to think it can change. Now I want to ask you both about another reality in Brazil, which is now Lula is in office and Bolsonaro is under investigation for a coup. But the idea that Bolsonaroism is over, there might be some people in outside of Brazil who think, okay, well, Lula's in, so everything's great. So maybe you could describe the other stress that you feel about the bigger picture. You know, what's going to happen in Amazonia and generally? Maybe Christiana first, and then.
Yes. I think it's important to remember the result of our election in 2022, because we had a very tight result. Lula had 50.9% of the votes, and Bolsonaro had 49.1% of the votes. So it was almost half and half. And it divided, you know, split the country. And we still live the situation because, going back to the election time, in Amazon, we have nine states, right? Nine big states. In four states, Bolsonaro won the election.
Yeah.
But even in the states where he didn't win, he had a huge amount of votes. For example, Pará, that is the biggest state in Amazon, and where there are most of the population as well, you know, the Amazonian, they live in Pará. In Pará, the difference between Lula and Bolsonaro was only 400,000 votes. And we have there more than 4 million voters. So it was almost half and half as well. So when Lula came into power, of course, all the governors and the politicals, they said, well, that's going to be okay. We're going to have a very good relationship. We're going to do, you know, what the executive is saying that we have to do. But we know deep in the heart of Amazon, Bolsonarism is so strong. And we see it every day in the covert, you know, we see every day. And I'm sure Angelica sees even more because she lives there. You know, she lives in Acre, that it's another state in Amazon. And so that's a huge problem, I tell you, Andy. And also we have in the Congress, in the National Congress, the congressmen, the majority, they are Bolsonaro supporters. They are the guys who you said Bible, beef, and bullet.
Yeah,
it's
right.
That's the reference for the three biggest groups that we have in the Congress. We have a big group of agribusinessmen. We have another big group of the Bible. Now, though, that you see in Brazil, we have this very dangerous link between church and power. And also Darcy Alves, he uses this nickname Pastor Daniel because he converted himself to the church that we call Evangelical Church here in Brazil. So he presents himself as Pastor Daniel. And in the Congress, we have this three big groups, agribusiness, Bible, and bullet, that they are the guys more, you know, they like violence. So it's very hard for Lula and his government to implement change because we need to the agreement of the Congress, which we don't have in the most of the case. So we still live in a difficult situation. And I think it's going to take a lot of years and even decades to solve this problem.
Yeah, and I have to say this resonates a lot with the United States right now, where the Speaker of the House, the Republican, is extremely evangelical Christian and trying to build a Christian government. in a country that really powerfully separates church and state. And Trump, of course, is playing into these same patterns. So it feels familiar. Angelica, Christiana mentioned that this must feel even more intense right in Rio Branco. I remember my interviews with the power brokers in Rio Branco back in 1989, you know, who were almost, there's high likelihood they were helping Darlie and Darcy with the murder. It was never proved, but what's your sense of the atmosphere there? And then we'll get back to Christiana, whose publication, OECO, has written stories about problems in that region.
Help me to understand, Christian, please.
Well, just basically, what's the atmosphere? What's the political atmosphere, agora in Rio Branco?
Como que tá a situação política e como que é o bolsonarismo lá, se o bolsonarismo é muito forte, como que vocês sentem? Eu acho que ele tinha perguntado também no começo como se teve alguma repercussão da notícia do Darcy aí no Acre.
Ok. Yes, this news, this notice, I don't know how to say, was amplified here because for the local media. The local media who are very from the position, the political position from the right. So almost the commentaries about the publication in social media was calling Darcy who a hero because it's one of the most Bolsonarist of the Amazon, my state. So Rio Branco is a part of this Bolsonarist who agree with the Biblia.
Bible.
Yeah.
Bible.
Yeah.
And bullets and see the pecuaria as a solution because we are living a moment of a very big desemprego. I forgot the word.
Unemployment.
Yes, okay. Yes. So the people here believe that to change the situation have to assess this economic politics of the agribusiness.
Right.
So it's a big part of the population who are eleitores of Bolsonaro.
Yeah, so voters for him, right? Yeah.
That's something new for me, you know, Andy. I didn't know I had such a response from them, like he's a hero, that in Acre, that's new for me. But it doesn't surprise me because that's the reality we still have in Amazon. I think so important to have this kind of discussion here because Brazil, when you talk about Brazil in the international scenario, you guys from outside, you see Brazil as a big leader in the environment and, you know, Brazil can lead the climate fight and so on. But we still were not able to tackle the very basic problems that we have in Brazil. And one of them is this situation that people doesn't see environment as a way of development. So right. Lula is trying to implement a lot of programs in agroforest and to give more value for forest products such as Brazilian nuts or açaí or, you know, another pupunha and other products, cocoa as well. But we still didn't change the key, you know, didn't.
Yeah.
Because in those places where the rate of unemployment and the rate of poverty is still so high and still very lack of education, lack of health services, and basic things. So of course they want something that they know, and what they know is cut the tree down, put cattle there, you know, put fire, put the cattle there, and that's the way of we develop. That's the way they see, and still they live this reality. And it's so incredible. Brazil has long ago, we are not a colony anymore, but we still live like we were a colony of some country, because our economy is based on the exportation of commodities. No, right. The first, right. the main commodity is soya beans, and the soya plantations, they were one of the biggest problems in Cerrado, for example, you know, the deforestation in Cerrado. So that's a very profound, deep problem that we still have to deal with.
And journalism is part of the solution. Right after your story ran, I think it was just 3 hours later, the national leader of Liberal Party, announced that they, well, tell us what happened.
Yes, as you said, right after we published the story, it was a big repercussion. And this national president of this party, that's called Valdemar Costa Neto, he released a statement saying that he recommended the dismissal of Darcy's dismissal from this position. And all the media was talking about the topic. Chico Mendes stayed in the trending topics of Twitter for 2 days here in Brazil.
Wow.
And then in the following morning, he released another statement saying that he not only would dismiss Darcy from this position, but he would also kick him out of the party. So he's not part of this political party anymore. But I'm not convinced that Darcy now. Yeah. He will leave the political scenario in the city where he went when he finishes his time in prison. And right. I think he will not be able to you know, be elected, to be in a political position in the city, not a councillor, not in the council halls. But I think he will still have a lot of power there.
Yeah, it's so, the dynamics are so interesting. And it must feel like this is just this tiny example where
the situation is in a small city, a quarter of the Amazon, but there's many other examples that aren't quite so dramatic.
Sorry, but Andy, now he came back, but your phone wasn't working.
Okay.
Now it's working.
I'm just showing, this is a
Medicilândia
is one small little place, you know, where he's found this power base, but in a region where there are many other stories, many other issues.
Mm-hmm. And you see Acre. Put the there, that's Acre, where right. Angelica lives, and you see the distance. Amazon is just huge, and we have the amount of problems that we have is the same as the size of the bioma.
Right, and it's I did a session here with the murder of Dom Phillips and Bruno Pereira over fishing. It was a fishing mafia, And maybe Christiana, you could talk a little bit about the other stories that where corruption and crime, it's not just sort of, it's not just politics, it's also crime and dysfunction. So what's going on with some of these other?
Yes, we have, we published a story about the trafficking of pesticides.
Right.
It's from a colleague of mine, Alden Boerschat. And he wrote about these borders of crime where they were using the Amazon rivers to transport pesticides and in drugs as well. So we know that Amazon is a route for crime and for drug trafficking as well. And of course, we have deforestation. We estimate that 90% of the deforestation that was registered last year was illegal. So 90%.
Wow. That's, by the way, hold on 1 second. I'm looking at this amazing statistic. More than 45,000 vehicles and more than 80,000 pedestrians cross bridges between Brazil, Paraguay, and Argentina every day.
Yes.
That's extraordinary.
Yes. And that's it, Andy. We have a lot of stories. I invite you and the guy and who is watching us to have a look in OECO. And if you allow me, I would like to tell you about OECO. We are one of the first media outlets, if not the first media outlet that is specialized in environmental journalism. And we have 20 years of history. This 2024, we celebrate 20 years of history. And we are a small and independent media outlet, which means we are always struggling with money, but also that we have freedom to write stories about this, about mafia scenario, about the trafficking, about Ian, about Darcy, you know. So I invite you to have a look.
There's a question that's come in from Marcio Lazaro. Do you, as journalists, fear violence in the forests? You know, as I mentioned, Dom Phillips, mm-hmm. who was brutally murdered with Bruno Pereira, an indigenous mm-hmm. advocate.
I do fear violence, and this was one of the main questions we had in the newsroom when I told my editors that I was with this story in my lab. And we were very, you know, worried with violence and threatenings and so on. So, because we know the reality, as you said, we have Dom Phillips, Bruno Pereira, Dorothy Stang, Chico Mendes, but we have also not famous people that is killed every day. No, and just yesterday, I received news from another media outlet that is very well known in Amazon. It's called O Varadouro. They mm-hmm. were, the article was about a group of small farmers that were ambushed by a group of, you know, bad guys that wanted to kill them, you know, and the mastermind behind this ambush was a big farmer, and no one was killed, but they were tortured, and the guys shot against the small farmers. So the violence is a reality in a daily basis in Amazon. So of course I'm afraid. We have some protocols in the newsroom mm-hmm. to preserve ourselves, but I think I can't go to Medicilandia for a long time.
Yeah, that probably is a good idea. I'm just going to close out that.
Yes, that's Varadouro. It's another independent, small media outlet that brings Amazon stories.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that the international audience can pay attention to these stories, because we're all connected. One of the stories I wrote when Bolsonaro was becoming president was about the possibility of countries like France, the United States, that get exports from Brazil, to require more rigor, more care in being sure that the products, beef or wood, are not produced endangering people's lives, like seringueros or indios, or endangering the environment. And I don't know whether that's happening. I thought I saw some signs that a certain part of agro industry was becoming more supportive of standard.
The biggest chains, food chains, they have protocols and they have, policies to avoid this situation. But it's so fragile. It's so fragile. For example, JBS, JBL, JBS, that is the biggest meat producer in Brazil. This company was linked with a lot of illegal things, and was blocked by Carrefour, for example, and other big food chains. But we know that so fragile the system, and it sometimes doesn't depend only of for the meat in. Sorry, it doesn't depend only the JBL work. It depends what the producers, the small farmers, the big farmers, they are doing on the ground.
Exactly.
So it's very complex. It's not easy even to say, even to explain. It's so hard.
No, I know. And it does mean that people in countries outside of Brazil shouldn't feel powerless. They have potential to influence policy a little bit. But ultimately, it's on the ground. Angelica, I wanted to spend the last few minutes talking about Chico and the Comité Chico Mendes, and trying to perpetuate an understanding of his approach to progress. As a journalist, I was so impressed as I wrote my book with his, he was very practical. Yeah. Look at that. He was very practical. He was passionate, but he was practical, and I don't know if you could just talk a little bit about your impressions of his legacy.
Okay. So, there was 3 years that Chico Mendes Committee was, formalized as an organization. His president is my mom, Angela, and our mission is take care of the legacy of my grandfather.
Yeah,
we are looking for the extractivist reserves. Mainly Chico Mendes, that is one of the most ameaçada, I forgot.
Threatened.
Okay. With threatened. I will try. is one of the most threatened.
Frightening. Você quer dizer amedrontada? Coisa mais que dá medo, isso?
Ameaçada, a reserva mais ameaçada.
Menaced, the threatened, the most threatened reserve.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, for the agribusiness, they are pressioning the extractivists, the people of the forest, and using the reserve to activities with cattle, so there is a big pressure in the Chico Mendes reserves. We are working mainly with the youth of the reserve. We have activities about communication, activities with advocacy, mainly with the youth and the women in the HESEX. But we are part of a lot of places of discussion about the climate change in Chico Mendes committee and about the Acordo de Escazú, that is a kind of acordo. I esqueci a palavra acordo. I forgot the word acordo. I will 1 minute, please.
I'm not able to help you with that one.
I think I can help. I'm gonna send you the link.
Agreement. Acordos.
Right.
About the defenders, to protect the defenders. So Chico Mendes is inciding in Escazú to this be ratificado in Brazil.
Yeah, because be ratified.
It's one of the countries that don't signing, the government didn't sign yet the agreement.
Yep.
So I think it's about, we are working with social justice, as my grandfather's defended with his life.
Well, this is great, and again, this is a way that people can support this work by supporting the Comité Chico Mendes and Transparency International and other organizations that are working to create a better future there. Mm-hmm. So I hope that people who see this show and you know, when we're done, it can be shared afterwards. It's not, so it stays on YouTube and Facebook and everything. Can understand this is not, there's lots of work to do, and wherever you are, you can contribute to it, even though it's far away. I want to thank you both so much for taking the time today to be here. I'm just going to show one little thing that Lula posted a couple of years ago that I think is worth revisiting. Let me see if the sound can work. So he's now the president. I hope he has a long and healthy life going forward.
Será que eles não percebem que esse mesmo grupo de ricos mandaram matar Jesus Cristo há 2,000 anos atrás? E o povo não esqueceu as ideias de Jesus Cristo. Será que esses mesmos não estão lembrados que foram eles que mandaram matar a filha dele, espartejar e colocar sua carne pendurada nos cortes, para que o povo nunca mais se lembrasse da filha dele? 30 anos depois, o Brasil conquistou a sua independência. Crianças morrerem de fome antes de completar uma unidade. E a política econômica... Eu queria dizer para vocês uma coisa bem simples, para cada um de vocês guardar na cabeça. Vocês conheciam bem o Caboclo Chico. Vocês sabiam o que o Chico queria. Vocês sabiam o que o Chico dizia. Vocês sabiam o que o Chico pensava. Pois bem, o que o companheiro Chico, que deve estar no céu nesse instante, espera de cada um? Ele espera que aumente a coragem e a disposição de luta de cada companheiro. Ele dizia sempre, o dia que eu morrer, meus companheiros vão se dobrar, cada um vai valer por 10 e a luta vai continuar. E é isso que tem que acontecer.
Yes, if you allow me, Lula, in this time, it was just after the murder of Chico Mendes, was a big commotion in Brazil and even internationally. So he, in his speech, Lula was saying, comparing the guys who killed Chico Mendes were the same guys who killed, kind of guy who killed Jesus Christ and Tiradentes. And he says his memory will keep alive. And what Chico Mendes would like from us now, he would like to us to keep fighting. So he urges people to keep fighting from his memory. For his memory and for the rights of the forest and the people who lives in the forest.
Yes. Well, thank you again, both of you, for being here today. One last thing. I just wanted, just to be sure everyone understands who Darcy Alves Pereira is and who he was before he became Pastor Daniel. This was a reenactment after he was arrested. He showed police what he did, and he went back to the house and crouched in the spot where he took the shot. There's still some questions about whether a brother or someone else was involved, whether he did pull the trigger, but that's Darcy Alves Pereira.
No, sorry, this is not Darcy. No,
this is him.
Yes, that's him.
Yeah, that was another son. This is from a documentary, but it was federal police video mm-hmm. of the recreation of the crime. So that's so again, thank you for that really great piece of journalism, which seems very small in some ways because it's in Medicinalandia, in the middle of a small place, but it's very big in other ways. And I'm just showing here to at Chico Mendes Committee. Is you can follow on Instagram and maybe Twitter. And thank you both for being here, Angelica and Christiana, and for all the work you're both doing to build a safer, more sustainable Amazonia and Brazil. This is a Sustain What? This is Andy Revkin and revisiting a story that hadn't revisited in a long time. And it's just really good to see journalism and activism are alive and well in Brazil. Thank you again. Obrigado.
Thank you, Andy. It was a pleasure to be here. Well, it was an honor to talk with Angelica. And I really feel that even if we are a very small media outlet, we still can make the difference.
Yeah, and anyone can share this after we're done on all those different platforms. Angelica, maybe someday we'll meet. I'll come back up to... I haven't been to Chapuri or Rio Branco since 1990. Getting to be an old man, but I'll come back.
I was a baby.
Yeah, really. I know. Take care, okay? Everyone, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.